And we turn to Psalm 27 and to verse 8. When thou saidst, "Seek ye my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Jeremiah has a favourite expression which was often used in the Jewish language. He says, for example, "Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed." It's a wonderful prayer. Here is somebody in difficulties. Here is somebody unwell. And he's able to pray, "Lord, if you will heal me, because I believe your power and I believe your expertise and your knowledge, I know I will be made better." And he also says, "Save me, and I shall be saved." What a wonderful thing it is to be able to cry out to the Lord, "Save me." And if he chooses to, and if he moves to do so, and if he applies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to my life, then a thorough work, an absolutely thorough work of salvation, will be wrought in my heart. "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, Lord, and I will be saved." They're from Jeremiah 17. But almost the last verse of his book of Lamentation, he uses the expression again. He says, "Turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned." He actually puts it in the plural for the nation. "Turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned." And it opens up the thought to thinking, I might turn, I might be like a Peter and say, "I'll never let you down, Lord. I'll never go against you. I'm better than all these other disciples round about you. I can survive any temptation." Only to discover that human nature has no power to accomplish the things. You all know, of course, that I don't really like singing at a baptismal service, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end." Because I always think, what part of the promise is made by a human being? He might promise, but he might not be able to deliver. And so, turn us, O Lord. If you turn us, then we shall be turned. But if I try to turn myself, if I try to make New Year resolutions, if I try in some way to improve myself, it won't work. And so, turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. Now, these are wonderful prayers. Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Turn me, and I shall be turned. But it all begins with us. And we don't know what the Lord's mind on the matter necessarily is. How much more wonderful then the verse that speaks to David. And it spoke to him probably when he wrote the psalm many years before, when he was probably a shepherd boy out on the hills. "When thou saidst, 'Seek ye my face,' My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He didn't say, Lord, I'd like to seek thy face. However good that would have been. Turn my heart to make me want to seek thy face. I see other people who are believers and are Christians, and I want to be like them. Make me like one of them. No. That wasn't the way it happened to David. The Lord moved first. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. Didn't begin with David. It began with Almighty God. A command of God. A command that probably came across in the most kind and wonderful way, but it was a command nonetheless. Seek ye my face. Began with God. I have reflected with you concerning my experience getting on for a year ago now. But you see, if the particular cancer you know that I have is not a painful one, people don't even know that they've got it. But supposing it had been, I might well have prayed the Lord to spare me, to save me, to ease me of my situation, to change it. And that would have been perfectly legitimate. But actually, that wasn't what happened to me. I died. And without me asking, because I didn't know it was going to happen, the Lord gave me life again. And as I reflected, I remembered how that was an exact parallel and was doubtless intended by the Lord as an exact parallel of what had happened many years ago when I was saved. I didn't seek the Lord. He sought. And when I knew nothing about it and was, for those few minutes, lost and dead, he didn't answer my prayer or anybody else's prayer, because nobody else knew it had happened, and I certainly didn't. But he still did it. As an act of grace, I've often said to my wife, I can't actually think of anybody in my non-Christian family who would have prayed for me when I was a child before I was saved. And while every child who is prayed for and saved is equally an act of grace, it so clearly was an act of sovereign grace in my case. The Lord did it because he wanted to do it. The Lord did it because it was in his heart to do it, as it always is, but it was so clear and apparent in my case. And all these years later, the Saviour has replicated that by raising me up into extended life without my asking, but of his own free and sovereign grace. I have always been a lover of grace, the free grace of a sovereign God who has the power to do those things that are in his mind. Now this is what David is talking about here. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. And with those who come to know the Lord in a way that is powerful and life-giving and life-changing, it always begins with the Lord. Sometimes our awareness of it may be that we are beginning it, but it's always a response from our own heart. And what the Lord says in the gospel is, seek ye my face. Now last week, do you remember, we had that wonderful story about the man in the synagogue with a withered hand. Do you remember how the Lord called him into the midst? And then at the point, he said to him, stretch forth your hand. and he stretched it forth, and it was whole as the other. Now, he called upon him to do something he couldn't do. But the very words of the Saviour imparted the strength for him to do the thing he couldn't do. Had the man said, "Can't do that. Not fair you ask me to do a thing like that. You're mocking me, you know I can't do anything like that. You can see my hand." That would have been another story with another outcome. But the Lord said, "Stretch forth thine hand." And in immediate obedience, and an instinctive imparted, not instinctive really, but an imparted trust, imparted by the Saviour himself, he did what the Lord commanded. He trusted him. It all happened instantaneously. But you see, the preaching of the gospel is like that. The Lord says, "Seek ye my face." And here is a man, a boy, a girl, a woman, who's never sought his face. And might be inclined to think in his heart, "I can't do that. I don't know how to do it. Don't know how to begin. Don't know where to start." There are those who object to the preaching of the gospel on the grounds that unless somebody's heart is already pre-prepared in some way, it's wrong to call them to do something that they can't do by nature. But it isn't. When God calls you to do something that you can't do by nature, he gives you the power with the very words. And when he says, "Seek ye my face," there is no reason whatever for thinking you can't seek. No reason whatever for thinking when he says, "Seek ye my face," that can't mean me. I don't need him. Or it can't mean me. I'm too bad. I'm too far gone. It can't mean me. You don't know my situation. If the Lord says it, and if by the Spirit, under the preaching of the gospel or the reading of the scriptures, he conveys it to the heart, then with those words he gives the power. "Seek ye my face." But what a delightful thing it is. Not asking us. Very much like the story of Naaman. If he had been asked to do some great thing, he wouldn't have found it a problem. But to go and be baptized in the little river of Jordan was not something he had any mind to do. There's no question of capability. When the Lord says, "Seek ye my face," he's not saying that we should do some great thing, some impossible thing, some lifetime endeavor, some great work that would use up all our capacities forever. He's simply giving the power and saying, "Come to me. Come to me." To seek someone's face is to seek someone's presence. It's to be with them. As we say, face to face. It is to enjoy such a person's company. It is to drink up the things that that person can teach or can provide. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Seek ye my face." No wonder David was greatly loved. No wonder David made rapid progress from being a shepherd of sheep to the king of people. For when the Lord said unto him, "Seek ye my face," he says, "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." What an exciting thing. What a wonderful thing. What a beautiful thing. It was an answer of the greatest affection. "My heart said." There was a response in my heart. My heart was a heart that was natural like everybody else's heart. David says, I was born in sin and in iniquity. He doesn't deny that. He teaches that. But when the Lord came to him and said, seek my face, he says, my heart was changed. My heart immediately opened up to this wonderful call of the gospel from the Lord God himself. If the Lord says, seek my face, what better thing is there to do? I'll do it. It was an affectionate response. It engaged his whole heart, his whole love, his whole being, his whole life. One might even say his whole gifts. Doubtless he had his musical gifts and psalmist gifts by then also. My heart said unto thee. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It was an affectionate response. It was an immediate response. And sometimes, as the Lord Jesus indicates in the story he tells, that when the father said, will you go and do this for me? He said, I won't go. But afterwards, he went. Leaves a bitter, sour taste in the mouth, but at least he did go. Where the one who said, I'll go, didn't go, actually. But here was an immediate response. Wasn't spoiled by any sudden thought of what he would be leaving behind. Wasn't spoiled by any sudden thought of what would this mean for him in the future. If God said it and God is in control and God knows best, surely I can commit myself utterly to him. And of course, therefore, it was a response of utter commitment. The Lord says, seek my face. I will seek his face. Every opportunity I get, I will always resort to him, as he says in one of his psalms later. I will always turn to him. I will always lean on him. I will always trust him. I will always seek his instruction. I will always come for his guidance. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And this lay at the heart of his sure knowledge of God. The Lord, he said, is my shepherd. Not everybody can say that. A lot of people would know, even if they attempted to say that, it actually wouldn't be true to their experience. But it was true to David. He sought the Lord with all his heart because the Lord said, seek my face. And in verse 9, there's a wonderful little hint. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Have I missed you about? Has there been too long an interval between when thou said, seek my face, and my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek? Have you disappeared in that time? Is it like in the Song of Solomon? Was this David's experience that it related to Solomon, so he put it in that the Saviour knocked at the door? And the loved one was a bit tardy, and by the time she got to the door, the Saviour had gone and took some finding. May it be so immediate, so quick, may my response be so full of life and energy, that I won't have to say, Lord, hide not thy face from me, Lord. You haven't disappeared already. I know that if you say that I come, and now I do come, you won't hide yourself from me for very long, but I hope I haven't, on my part, made a mess of it, prolonged the whole thing, was it beyond what I need? The core of the Christian faith is the Lord's initiative. It's an initiative which we can't ourselves initiate. when he chose his people, none of whom deserved to be saved. We need to get this straight. Nobody in humankind deserved to be saved. God did not have to save anybody. God is not unfair or unjust in saving none. And if he chooses to save one or three or ten, he's not unfair in any way to those he doesn't save. But all this choosing of those in Christ whom he would save was done way beyond we were thought of except in God's mind. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? 1935 I was born, and I suppose I didn't know anything until 1936. I don't quite know how long it takes to sort of come to as a person. But the Lord had his eye on me, as on every other believer, from eternity, from before the foundation of the world. Now that is care, isn't it? That is devotion to watch all down the years. That is love. I don't need to be afraid that I am going to be let down with a bump. When long before I thought of being saved, the Lord had planned it. It doesn't lie within whether I'm good about it, that I remain saved. It's the Lord's great mercy. And while it may be that if I'm tardy with my reactions, I might heap up for myself a load of trouble that I could spare myself, the Lord's purposes will not be thwarted. "When thou saidst," said David, "seek ye my face." Perhaps it came as a surprise. Perhaps it wasn't a surprise. Perhaps he thought about all the wonderful people down the years that the Lord had blessed. And now I can come to him. But whatever it was, the Lord's word overrode his natural inclination of sin, brought him to see the true purpose of salvation and its consequences for his life. And with great gratitude and with the expansiveness of affection, he cried out to the Lord, "Thy face will I seek." And what pleasure did he have? What times with the Lord? Sweet psalmist of Israel, taught so many things. What a wonderful psalm about Christ Psalm 45 is. All these things began here, that the Father said, the Saviour said, the preaching of the gospel to his heart said, "Seek ye my face." That's still what the gospel says to us. Seek ye my face. Amen. Our fathers grasped this well, and they wrote hymns to teach their congregations just how things stood in these things. And in verse 6, it summed up beautifully. "The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace." That sums it up. God doesn't propose to us, "Would you like to be saved?" He commands, "Seek ye my face," not to propose. But he effectively calls by that command and gives the power to respond. And that's what the symbol really is about. There is a period known to God when every sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. And may we all have that experience.